peace. Our Heavenly Father, touch us, our hearts now as we go into your word. Bless these lips of clay as it goes into the scriptures. And touch our hearts that we may be able to receive the word, that we may further us in maturity as saints in the body of Christ. And touch our pastor and touch Elder Liverman in his illness until he gets back. And Deacon Gavin, who's a supporter, and all of the people that are here. Touch our hearts now in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. It's good to be back. We had a wonderful Thursday night Bible class, and some of you can come out for beginner's Bible class. It was really a wonderful Thursday. God bless you. I'm not going to prolong the time. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 3. Our designated reader today is the pastor, and I'm going to have him read it both in the King James and the Greek. Chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 3.
From the King James and from the Greek. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, from the King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Keep reading.
Yeah, Ephesians, a Greek text now, please.
All right, from the Greek text. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Bless the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual,
yes, sir,
in the heavenlies in Christ.
From that scripture, we take our text for this message today. The book of Ephesians is one of my favorite books. The text and the verse says that God, through Christ, has blessed us with spiritual, all spiritual blessings. Israel was blessed with the things of this world, physical blessings. But the body of Christ, God blessed us with spiritual blessings, which are blessings that you can't see, touch, hear, taste, or smell. It is based on our walk of faith.
Amen.
For we walk by faith and not by sight. It is the body of Christ's mandate. But just as some of these spiritual things are given to us, they're given to us from eternity. One thing we want to know, are they real now? Or is it something that we can relate to now? Or is it something we have to wait until we get to heaven to realize? Let us take a look at some of the, into the Word of God and glean some of these spiritual nuggets of blessings that are spiritual to us, that we can comprehend and see that God has given us from eternity. Spiritual blessings are not emphasized much today, if any at all. everything now is about kingdom, kingdom law, or philosophy. Nevertheless, God has given us spiritual things that we, in the body of Christ, should go by and should live by. So, we're going to look at some of these things today. And what are the benefits of spiritual blessings? We got to take a job, and first thing we want to know is about the pay first, and then what kind of benefits do we have? We call them in today's vernacular bennies. But God has a different plan, and His plan works from an eternal standpoint, not with something that we're dealing with in time. He gives us a new contract that we're dealing with, not the old contract that the Jewish people had, but a superior contract. It is superior because, first of all, we have to believe it and walk it, believe it, and acknowledge it by faith, which is something we can't see. But we have trusted God to deliver us to that point where we can see it. The first thing that we need to look at is in this spiritual blessings that we have is adoption. We are adopted by God. We have is a legal term process which is endowed the believer with status and privileges associated with kinship. It depicts the believer's relationship with God. It was a choice made by God in eternity. It is based only on the good pleasure of His will as who would be made children of God, to heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and 5. It is through the medium of the Holy Spirit, which witnessed to our spirit that we are God's children, allowing us to cry, Abba, Father. This right, which is come from Romans chapter 8, verse 15, and Galatians 4 and 7, and 6 and 7, this right is exclusively for Jesus Christ. It's through our identification with Christ, members of His body, that gives us this heirship, Romans 8, 17. And what we need to realize is that it is not something that you can acquire. It's not something that you can go and get. It's something that was given to us by God Himself. Mm-hmm. It was something that was actuated in eternity long before we had nothing to do with it. So we don't get the high horse about, we think that because of who we are, we got where we are, was on our own initiative.
No.
It was by God, for the purpose of His goodwill, that He chose us to be adopted. So therefore, in that situation, we ought to be thankful and be humble, because He didn't have to choose us in eternity. And when I look at how some people live, and the things they're going through, I'm thankful every day for what God has done for me and how He adopted me and bring me into His fold. This is foreordained through Christ. Ephesians 1 and 5, Romans 9, 25, Romans 8, 29, and 1 Peter 1, 20. Second thing that we ought to be thinking about, be happy about, a spiritual blessing is that He elected us and saved us before the foundation of the world. Now we've got an election coming up in the fall, and a lot of people are putting a lot of their eggs in the basket about who's going to be this and who's going to be that and who's going to be elected and whatever, and that is conditional. I vote for you, Mr. Obama, if you will give me what I want. I will vote for you, Mr. McClain, if you will give me what I want or what I need. But you see, God's election is different from that. It's unconditional. Unconditional. In other words, there is nothing that you can do to warrant being elected by God. It's all His work. All His work. And by that being the case, we have nothing to boast about. Because it's God that did the choosing back in eternity. So what we see here is that it was a sovereign choice made by God in eternity, where eternity placed us in a favored position with Him. And whether you like it or not, and whether the world tells you about, I can work my way in, it's not by works. It's what God has done for us before the foundation of the world. Only He was there, and He was the one who did the electing. He was the one who did the choosing. You had nothing to do with it. It's based solely on His will, His plan, and His purpose. Not anything that's supplied or attributed by man at all. Ephesians 1 and 4, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. Election or salvation is unconditional, independent from any of the mechanizations of mankind. And being a public school teacher, I can tell you that folks will do things that they think that they can get, win your favor and everything, but that doesn't mean a thing with God. There's nothing you can do to win yourself over to God to bring you in. This is something that was done before the foundation of the world. You had nothing to do with it. I have to keep emphasizing that because we think that if we do just a little bit of good, then we think that we ought to be able to work our way into friendship with God where He can just overlook some of the things. It's not like that. Everything was settled before the foundation of the world. Everything was brought into effect, actuated in eternity, manifested in time. So we don't like to hear that. But it was preassignable work of God for created vessels of mercy. Romans 9:23. Another one of the things that God gives us as far as spiritual blessings is concerned is faith. It denotes total and what? Unconditional commitment or trust. We walk by faith and not by sight. If it's something that we can see, then it's not faith. That's the problem I have with the word faith movement. Well, if I just do Deuteronomy 28, I'll get all my blessings here and all this stuff. That stuff is crazy. That wasn't written for you. If you're going to go by one part of the law, you're going by all of it. Oh, you don't hear me. We want to do things our way. But if you're going to go by the law, you got to keep all of the law. All of it. All of it or none of it. And I'm not about to put William R. Nicholson under the law. It's hard for me to make an appointment to get here to church, let alone try to keep the law. Oh, you don't hear me. Why put yourself under that? Not with Israel, it was about the land. Genesis 12 and 7. But us is a heavenly thing that God has given us. It's a spiritual intelligence that God has given to His elect to communicate with them on things that are eternal and unseen. Nobody wants to talk about that now. All we want is something we can see, feel, touch, hear, smell. But we don't go by that. We are in the grace covenant.
Glory to God. Amen.
And it's by grace, it's not by works. We're not under a works economy anymore. We're under grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. All we can do is to have the faith of God.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 18, He tells us the things that we can see are temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the things that are that I don't see, but I'm looking forward to it one day. And I'm going to step out of this body And I'm going into another dimension. And the Greek says it's atomic. We said seconds, but the Greek says it's atomic. It's going to be so, but just stepping right out. And don't cry for me and do all of that. I'm in a better place. Longevity has its place. That's fine. But 100 years is only 1,200 months. And I'm thinking about the eternal thing where I will be with God throughout all eternity. That's what I'm looking forward to. Faith is a channel that God works through believers, the truth of the gospel, outlining the eradication of sin by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are justified by faith and by justification. We're justified by faith and faith alone, plus nothing. There's nothing you can do. Everything has been done by God. Salvation is based on the faithfulness of Christ and not yours. And that's one thing that we need to say something about. Because everybody, well, I had the faith. Your faith don't mean a hill of beans. It's the what? It is the faithfulness of Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. You have no faith enough where you can work your way in with God. It must be done by God. Everything must be done by God. You have no kind of mechanization where you can work your faith in with God and you can say this and that and everything. It doesn't mean a hill of beans. If God hasn't chosen you from eternity, then you're not chosen. And there's nothing you can do to work your way into fellowship with it. It's all done by God. And the corroboration that, well, he said, well, that's just what you're saying with the Apostle Paul. Well, it's a mighty strange thing that in the Old Testament, Jonah said in 2 and 9, salvation is of the Lord.
Thank God. Amen.
Nobody else. It's all about God. Another one of the spiritual benefits that we have in Christ is grace. For we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. The Bible lets us know that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, so death will pass upon all men, for all have sinned. But it was through the grace of God, he tells us that he saved us by grace through faith. And that wasn't our own faith. He had to give us the faith in order to believe. Because you don't have the faith to believe, God has to give it to you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And if it's a gift of God, you can't lose it. If you got to work to keep it, then you've got to work to earn it, you got to work to keep it. Any one thing about doing what you do, and it's just like this. If I have a big 10-gallon jug here of water, and I take one little small drop of ink, and this is the grace killer, and I put that one little drop of ink in there, it's no longer grace because it's some kind of work. No matter how small it is, no matter how minuscule it is, how tiny, it's still the work that you said that you have done in order to be saved. God said, no, no, no. For by grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. When are we going to get that through our heads?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. Glory.
We have the grace of God, and that motivates us to live godly. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12.
All right.
There's nothing you can do to work your way into God. Another one of the benefits God gives us is glorification. Glorification is the blessed act that occurred prior to time, but is subsequent, manifestation is subsequent to time. One of these days when I leave here, and when all of us leave here, we're going to go out of this body into the presence of God. God has a body prepared for you in eternity right now. And when you leave, you're going into that body.
But the first thing is, this old man has got to be destroyed, dissolved, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's got to drop off. It must be destroyed. No matter how good you look, no matter how well dressed you are, no matter what kind of car you got, everything else, flesh is flesh and must be destroyed. It's got to go. It cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This mess of ball of dirt that we're carrying around with us is a stench in the nostrils of God if we think that we're going to carry this mess with us into heaven. It's got to be destroyed. Everything about it's got to be destroyed. Because that's the only way you can get rid of the sin nature. Get rid of it. I want to do good, but something is Henry. Every time I seek to do good, Elvis, something's right here holding me back. But one of these days, I'm going to be finished with this mess. I'm going to chop it off just like a hot potato. And I'll be in the presence of God, and all of this mess that I'm here, and you can put me in Cole's funeral home and Edgewood or wherever you want to put me. It's gone. But I'll be into a better place. Then another one of the spiritual blessings that God gives us is imputation. Means to count, reckon, or compute, or calculate. Well, if you're going to count and regulate and all of the things about that, you're going to look at mankind. There's only one way to look at it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none do it good, no, not one. You come here behind the eight ball, and unless Christ gives a manifestation to you in your heart, you're going to die behind the eight ball. There is nothing on your account that can work your way into Christ. The sinner's got a bad account. It's just like me going out running up a bunch of debt, and no, I can't pay for it. Somebody's got to come in and step in and pay for it. Well, with Christ, the righteous of, it had to be the righteous of Christ, because only God is righteous. And we don't look at it in a relative term. There's only one righteous, that's God's righteousness. And if it's going to wipe out the sin debt of a believer, you've got to have the righteousness of God to do it, because you can't do it yourself. It must be done by God. It's a total work of God.
Yes.
Oh my God. Why are we going to get that through our head?
Glory to God. Glory.
And I see, and with all of the things that we see going on now, one of the people that teach drives here with me, he's born again Christian, he said, well, Elder Nicholson, it can't get any worse than this. And what we see now, I say, Brother Wright, it's going to get a lot worse. Because when you're dealing with flesh, there's no end to how bad it can get. Oh, you don't hear me.
Yes, sir.
The only thing it knows to do is bad.
Right.
And when it does good, it's got a motive, a hidden motive for what it's doing. The heart is wicked. And deceitful above all things. And definitely wicked. Who can know it? Only God knew how wicked we were. That's why he had to come with imputation and sell the account for him. Because it was left up to us, we never could get out of it.
Never.
Charge over to Christ's account.
Oh, my God.
The righteousness of God. Only his righteousness.
Yeah.
And the gift that he gave us is for the elect's depraved humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not depraved, Elder.
That's what you think.
That's what you think.
Jesus.
I'm just going to say what I'm going to say. You're not paying me anyway. Say what I'm going to say. We're all depraved. Born in sin and shaping in iniquity. That's how we come here. But thank God that he saved us before the foundation of the world, that we wouldn't have to stay in this mess. Well, it's manifested in time where I know now my Redeemer, and I know who he is. I've got something to live for now. I've got somebody to look forward to. Something to look forward to. I've got something besides bills to look forward to. I got something that's eternal that I can touch, see, feel, hear, or smell. It's all based on Jesus Christ. We can't praise Christ enough. The other spiritual blessing that we have is justification. Justification is a legal act which places one in righteous standing before God. Divine declaration. The sinner stands before the judgment court of God and is declared justified based upon the application of the blood of Christ. That way it's all with the blood of Christ. It's all done. Nothing about what I've done, but Christ is up and I am justified. Therefore, who can lay charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies. You can talk about me all day long, but you know what? Don't talk about me, because I know whom I have believed. This is the kind of ministry and preaching that we need here in the world today. All this mess about gaining this and gaining that mess and all that crazy mess that they're preaching now. You're going to die and leave it all. You need to develop a relationship with God now. Everything is about acquisition. How much am I going to get? How much money am I going to make? What am I going to do with this and that? The Bible says it is appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And you're going to die and leave it all. All your civil works, all your money, your home, and everything else. You're going to die and leave it all. And we all are bad about it. We all acquiring something that we don't need. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. We all in this thing about acquiring. You're like, we're going to be here forever. But I'm here to tell you, everything you got, everything is going to somebody else. And it's going to be recycled after them, because when they leave, it's going to somebody else. It might have started out at Macy's, but it'll end up at Value Village. Because nothing that you got, you're going to keep it. Everything. And I wish we could get that through our head. We just think that we got the. I just wanted that. And I'm as bad as anybody else. I'm not going to tell you what I love. You know what I love. You know what I love. I'm not going to talk about what you love, because you know what you love. It's a personal thing. But you know something? Unless it's the Word of God, that's the only thing you ought to be in love with on this earth. I mean, you love your wife and your husband and all those things, but your first primary love is to your love of God for what He has done for you, what He has done for you right now. That's what you ought to be concerned about. You ought to be where you can't get enough of God. Every time a Bible class is going on, you ought to be knocking the doors down to get in the church to get the Bible. Oh, you don't hear me. We ought to be, get as close as we can be. This is the only thing that matters in this life. It's non-contributory on the unbeliever's part. And what it is, when God does justification, it's just as though I've never sinned because of the work of God. My God. Why are we worried about all these other things when we got all of these things going for us? You know why? Because we don't think much of heavenly things. When we look at the stars and say, oh, they're pretty. We look at the moon for romance's sake. But there's big things that God has planned for us outside of those realms that we can't seem to see or understand or don't want to understand. No one can lay a charge against you. Romans chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. Romans 8, 33. Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 6. Another one of the heavenly blessings that he gives us is propitiation. It denotes a means of appeasing, or placating, or expiating through an acceptable substitutionary offering. The blood of bulls and goats could not do it. Your penance can't do it. And your Hail Marys can't do it. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to do it. This speaks of what pleases God. It's satisfied, it justifies of God. And the thing that we need to believe, to notice this is what God requires, only He can provide. Amen. What God requires, only He can provide. And that had to be a offering that pleased God. Not about how much money we give, or how many old people we help walking across the street, or how many aunts and uncles we take care of in the bed. That doesn't have anything to do with you, as far as you, all of the works that you've done. That does not have anything to do with propitiation. This is a work done by God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:5 and Hebrews 3:25. But in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, he tells us there was a work that was done one time.
All right.
We got people in some faith where they're going as what's called transubstantiation. Christ coming off the cross into the wafer and the blood coming into the wine. Every time they go to Mass, that's what happens. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, it was one time. God only has to do something one time. You don't hear me. When God says it one time or thinks it one time, that's it. We don't need anybody else bringing anything else to go change the formula. Next one is reconciliation. Means restore the favor. It's necessary because God is righteous and holy. And it's impossible for Him to have fellowship with a sinful man. It's the work that's done by Him. Thing about it is, all these benefits that I'm mentioning to you today, the heavenly benefits, do you ever notice that none of them are mentioned in the kingdom gospel? Because it was given to the Apostle Paul those 3 years down in the desert of Arabia for the elect and for the body of Christ. They didn't get this in the kingdom message. They didn't get it in the kingdom law message.
Amen.
And they're not going to get it in the everlasting gospel, which is the kingdom in Revelation. This is unique for us, the body of Christ. Do you see who we are? My God, we got something to shout about. We got something to run across the stage and be happy because we're in the body of Christ. Let me break it down to you. This is what you got to remember. Of all of the people that I used to, when I was coming along, and I had a wonderful grandmother. God knows I had two good grandmothers. But my mother's mother used to take me aside, and I was just a little chap. And she would do anything for me. And she called me by my middle name, Roger. And she would sit me on her lap. And she would read Bible stories to me. And I just loved Ada Prowell. Ada Prowell was so wonderful. And she just told me about the Bible and so and everything. And I was so happy for her. And I was just things that meant so much to me. But you know something? Without all of the things that Paul gave, that God, Jesus gave Paul, and let us know who we are. And I felt good with those Bible stories, but when I got of age and I started studying the right things and not being kingdom based, now I can appreciate much, much more of what's been given to me through the word of God for the church, for the body of Christ. That's what ought to make us happy. All of the people who lived before the Apostle Paul, none of them were in the body of Christ. It was only after Paul came, up until now, until when we are taken out of this world in the rapture. That's the body of Christ. Those people that are saved in Revelation, at the end there, said those who came out of the tribulation, but the church will be gone. My God, can't you see how much God loved us? Well, he just called us and saved us. And you know something? When my grandmother used to read those things to me, and I said, oh, God, why couldn't I have been a disciple? Why couldn't God give me the role of being a disciple? I thought that I could have been a good disciple, Elder. I thought I could have been a good disciple. You know something? But when I started learning about the Word of God, where he called me into the body, I'm much further ahead than a disciple. Because I've got things that God has given me that he can give to disciples. I've got a message of grace now, not a kingdom message. I've got something to shout about because it's a spiritual message. Everything on this earth, as far as the disciples are concerned, is what you see, feel, touch, hear, smell. But thank God, we've got something better than that. And I don't know, I was telling people in Bible class Thursday, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about what's going to happen when we get to heaven. But we know that we're going to judge angels. We're going to judge the world. He doesn't tell us a whole lot, but my God, because he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 that we have not seen or even imagined things that God has planned for them that love him. My God. What if this is what I just see here and all the things he's giving me spiritual right now, what is it going to be like when I'll be in the spirit with him and all of the blessings that he will give us then? My God, I can't think about it. It just blows my mind. We got a lot to be thankful for. The other one is redemption. Payment of a ransom. Christ purchased our freedom from the slave market of sin. This transaction entailed the righteousness of God, justification of God, the imputation of God, all due to redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23 tells us it's a free gift. In Christ. Paul, somebody said over 72 times in Paul's epistles, it's in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. You know why he has to tell us that? Because this flesh is dumb. You know, reputation is the mother of good teaching. You got to tell us over and over and over. We just don't get it. Okay, in Christ. In Christ.
Glory to God. Amen.
Saving and releasing based upon the blood of Jesus Christ to satisfy the demand. Romans 3:24, 1 Corinthians 1:30, and 3 and 1 of Romans. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. If it's anybody that ought to get the glory, it ought to be God. The Bible lets us know in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 that we ought to be given the sacrifice of praise of our lips for Christ. Number 12, the next one there is righteousness. And I think I'm going to be able to finish on time. Okay. I see Elder Liberman here. God bless him. Amen. The righteousness of God is the standard of God's perfection. Only God is 100% just. Only God is the 100% right and holy at all times. Whether it's an infant taken out of this world or one who's 95 taken out of this world, God is just at all times what he's done because he's God. So don't go blaming God about, well, it was God's decision. Whatever it is, he's the one. He's the one that's righteous. Only God possesses the attribute. It's not relative. Either you're 100% good like God is, or you're none, zero good like we are. It takes the righteousness of God to save us, because only he is righteous. Only through the faithfulness of Christ that can this be done. Romans 4 and 6 and 5 and 17. Salvation, being delivered from the penalty of sin and death. That's another one of the spiritual attributes. Spiritual, heavenly blessings that we have. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Romans 8, 33 through 39. And Ephesians 4:30 tells us that we are sealed with his spirit. Yes, you cannot be taken, if you're a child of God, you cannot be removed from God. Right. I'm going to give you what I call a very childish explanation, but I have a class ring on here, and I didn't get the kind from Wayne State that had the Wayne State seal under that stone. Some of them you get with the stone, it's got the school's name under the stone. You can't get that seal off of that ring to take that letter out. They got a sealing process that you cannot, it's almost indestructible. You have to destroy the ring in order to get the seal. But with Christ, he sealed us with, sanctified our spirit in him, that nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from God. Nothing. I don't care what imp from the east side, west side, north, south, pink, blue, or whatever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God has called us, saved us, he keeps us, and he's redeemed us, and we are his. And nothing in this world can take us from him. The other one is sanctification.
All right, now.
God has sanctified us. Separation or setting apart as holy unto God. The attribute of holiness is exclusively ascribed to God alone. Man can never on his own be holy or produce any kind of sanctification. It must be done by God. And if you don't get anything else about this message today, remember this, is everything is all about God and nothing about us. Without God, we're nothing, but in Christ, we're everything.
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're in Christ? I know I am. I'm going to have to tell Sister Marlene's name again. Think outside the box. Think outside the box. I mean, we got all of this going for us, and we worried around here, and I do it too, worried about a bill. Every time you get one cell, something else comes up. If it's not that, then the car, something goes wrong with the car. If it's not wrong, something wrong with the car, it's something wrong with the windows. If it's not, it's always something. Anybody who loves this life want to be around here. One minister say he want to be around here 150 years. I said, you a crazy fool to want to be around here for 150 years. In this shackled of a body we got, and you talking about want to be around here for 50 years, you got cancer, tuberculosis, and everything else, and you talking about want to be around here for 150 years, you a fool to say something like that. We are members of his body. We are identified with him. It's a total act of God. Ephesians 1:4-5. It's the sanctification of the spirit that God is concerned with, not this flesh. The sanctification of the spirit. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we are spirit, soul, and body. And this body here encapsulates or carries the spirit around with it. But one of these days, this body's going to drop off. And I will be in the presence of God. And so will you.
Amen.
We don't like to think about that. But the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed, the man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. You're on a solo trip. You're born to die. You weren't here meant to stay. There's nothing here worth staying here for in this state. And even in the millennium, when all of the things have been rectified by God on this earth and everything, we will be in the body of Christ. Israel and all of the people on earth, that's them. But we will be in the body of Christ. Okay. I'm almost finished. Last thing, one of the last two things I want to talk about now. All this we got to recognize is that wouldn't be possible without the sovereignty of God. In Colossians, I'm going to read, have Pastor read that for me, please. Colossians 1:16 in the Greek, please. Colossians 1:16. Well, in King James and the Greek, Colossians 1:16.
Colossians 1:16 from the King James. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. From the Greek text, Colossians 1:16. Because in him,
right there, stop. In him, in Christ, go ahead.
Were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers, authorities, all things through him and for him have been created.
Yes, sir.
When we look at that, the King James there says by, and what we have is all of us, until I learned from the Greek there, we have the idea that God created something, then he stood back and just looked at it and see how it's going to work out.
Right.
But the Greek says that in him. And I love the universe. Pastor and I like to watch that. And we see all these things about El Liman also, and we got Deacon Gavin on board. But you see all these things about the universe and how big it is and all of the things that's going on out there in the universe, and all of the universe and everything is in Christ. He created in him. There is no end to how far Christ goes out. It's all in Christ. It's in him. Our little speck, the Milky Way, is 8.8 billion light years from one part of the end to the other. And it's not even the largest. But in Christ, it's small. There's no end to God. God has everything planned, purpose, and it's going to work out according to his will. And there's nothing you and I can do about it because he's sovereign. From the foundation of the world, back in it was actuated, back in eternity, where everything is being manifested in time, everything has been worked out by God. There is nothing that you can say, do, or feel about it because everything has been done by God. Whether you like it or not, that's how it is. Well, it was a bad thing for me while I was here on this earth, and I don't think God was right. Well, that's the course that God gave you. That's the course that God gave you. Well, my mother's a drunk, and my daddy left home, and I just don't think it's right. Well, nobody asked you what you thought. God didn't ask you what you thought. He gave you that course. And whether you like it or not, that's what you got. And you know something?
Glory to God.
Paul says, I've been what? Up, I've been down. What? But you know what? Thank God for what he's given me. Amen? Because you know what? I'm thankful to God whatever course he's given me. Because he's in control. I came here with nothing, and I'm leaving with nothing. But you know what? I'm coming here now in the manifestation of Christ in me. No, let me correct that. I came here with not knowing nothing, but I'm leaving with Christ and I have everything. The last thing I want to talk to you about is outside the sovereignty of God, and it's something that you might not want to hear about, is the total depravity of man. Mankind was created in the image and likeness of God. He was good. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, he was good. Genesis 1:31 lets us know that. When the fall came, then mankind went astray. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, so death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The Bible lets us know that in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3, that after Adam had Seth, then people were born in Adam's image. The thinking of the world today who don't know anything about the Bible is that, well, we're all God's children. We're all in the image of God. You're born in this dispensation, in this time. You're born in Adam's image, not God's image. We don't like to talk about that because we all think that we're God-like. But you're born in the image of Adam. That's why you're walking around with this clay that will do anything and act any way, because you're carrying around this body of death. But the Spirit of God is inside of you if he's called you. And he's going to get rid of this one day. And I thank God for that. So you need to know that. And the only way you can know it is to realize that God has chosen you before the foundation of the world.
Glory.
That you don't have to be one of the vessels of wrath, but you're a vessel of mercy. And I thank God for that.
Yes, sir. Thank God.
I thank God for placing me with Pastor Cutler in eternity, with Deacon Gavin in eternity, and Bishop Liverman in eternity. I had to have some fun with him today. But God bless all of them, and I thank God for all of them. And I thank God for you for listening to me today through the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Amen.
God a hand, praise, hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.